Welcome back, everybody. So I'm in Yomi Chirp, the Daf Chav Zayin Amvez 27B, and we're in the very top of Daf Chav Zayin Amvez. We're in the middle of a different mentions of Chumros of Rabbi Eliezer, and we had a machlokas pishun Rabbi Eliezer on the Chachamim about whether you're allowed to go from Sukkah to Sukkah, whether you're allowed to make a Sukkah on Chol HaMoed, but said the Gemara B'Shav and Shem Nafal that they agree that if the Sukkah fell during Yontif, Shecholzer Bono Osa B'Chol HaMoed, that you are allowed to go and rebuild it on Chol HaMoed. So says the Gemara Pshita, this is obvious that even Rabbi Eliezer, of course, he would agree that rebuilding such a Sukkah is going to be okay. Because the same sukkah has to be used for the entire 7-day period, according to him. So, of course, you have to rebuild it. So, no, it answers the Gemara, Mahu Dedem, and you might have thought when it comes to a rebuilt sukkah, Hai Achrisihi, that this is now considered a different structure. It's not the same original sukkah anymore, Ve'ena L'Shiva. And it is a sukkah that's not meant for all 7 days, Kamash Malan, to go and get rid of this. The Brisa tells us that a sukkah built to replace an original collapsed one is going to be considered as if it's like the original sukkah. Good. Now comes the Gemara and brings another sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, about a detail of the mitzvah of sukkah. Tani was taught in the Brisa, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Rabbi Eliezer says, K'shem she'en adam yotzei yidei chovaso, b'yom tavarishon jachad, just as a person is not fulfilling his obligation to take a lulav on the first day of sukkah, b'lulavo shel chaver, with someone else's lulav, d'chsev, lukachtem lachem, b'yom arishon preit sadar kapos tamarim, because the pasuk says that you need to take lachem, you need to take from your own self, mishel lachem, it needs to come from your own possessions in order for you to fulfill your mitzvah of lulav on the first day. It needs to be your own lulav, it can't be borrowed or stolen. So too, the same thing would apply, says Rabbi Eliezer, when it comes to using your friend's sukkah. You're not allowed to sit in someone else's sukkah at all, otherwise you are not going to be yotzi. Now this is a big chiddush. It means you would never be allowed to go out for a meal or eat in any other sukkah except for your one for the same 7 days. The Chum disagree, and they say, Afa pishamru, even though it says, even though that's true when it comes to lulav, that for the first day it needs to be yours, but you could fulfill your obligation when sitting in a sukkah, in someone else's sukkah, to say, how do we know this? Because the pasuk says, Kola ezrach b'Yisrael yeshivu basukos, because the pasuk says that every person amongst the Jewish people should sit in the sukkos. Malami, this teaches us, Shekol Yisrael ruim leshiv basukah achas, this teaches us that all the Jews, everyone in Eretz Yisrael and Bnei Yisrael are able to fit in one sukkah, and therefore they can fulfill their obligation to go and sit in sukkah by sitting in one communal sukkah. Now, practically, there might not be a sukkah big enough for every single person, but the point is that we see, in theory, everyone could sit in the same sukkah. So, v'rabban hai lecha mai dar shibe, but Rabbi Eliezer had a pasuk. It said, chag asukos ta'aseh lecha. So what did the Rabbanim do with that? They say, mibay le'lemute gzuva. This comes to exclude a stolen sukkah. So that you can't do. You can't sit in a stolen sukkah, but avashu l'ksev kol ha'ezrach. When it comes to a borrowed one, there we have the pasuk of kol ha'ezrach, that everyone can go and sit in the same one. Av Rabbi Eliezer, hai kol ha'ezrach mai avid lei. So what does Rabbi Eliezer do with this pasuk of kol ha'ezrach that implies that everyone's allowed to sit in their own sukkah or in everyone else's sukkah? So Rabbi Eliezer says, no, this is needed for a ger who converts in the middle of Yontif, or a katan who becomes bar mitzvah in the middle of Yontif, because even though Rabbi Eliezer holds that you have to have the same sukkah for the 7 days of Yontif, these people, they're only becoming chayv in the middle of Yontif, so you might not think that's going to be okay, but that's what Kol HaEzrach is teaching, that even if you become chayv during that time, it's going to be okay even if it's not for the 7 days. Rabbanan, so where would the Rabbanan learn this from? That a ger sheniskayer, that someone who's converting, or a katan who becomes bar mitzvah during sukkahs, that they're allowed to go and sit in sukkah for the remainder of the days of sukkahs. So into the Gemara, Kivan Shamru Osin Sukkah Bechol Shemoed Lo Itzrich Kras. So the Rabbanan would say back that no, we already have this chiddush that someone's allowed to sit in the sukkah on Chol HaMoed, meaning even if you missed it before that, you are allowed to sit on Chol HaMoed. So we see that even if you're going to be sitting in the sukkah for less than the 7 full days, you're still going to have a chiyuv. So therefore, the same thing would apply to someone who's converting or someone who's becoming bar mitzvah. Good. Now that we mentioned these ideas, according to Rabbi Eliezer, when it comes to sukkah, we're going to quote him in other contexts as well. So So once happened, there was a story that Rabbi Eli went to go visit his Rebbe, Rabbi Eliezer, in the city of Lod during the Yontif. We know there's this concept of being makbil pnei rabo beregel. You're supposed to go and visit your Rebbe in the regel. Big discussion now for us right now. But Amar lo, so when he went to Rabbi Eliezer, so Rabbi Eliezer said to Rabbi Eli, Eli, einecha mishov se haregel. You're not someone who rests, who has the proper simchas hayantif. Rabbi Eliezer did not like that Rabbi Eli came to visit. Shaya Rabbi Eliezer, remember, because Rabbi Eliezer said, Meshabech ani esa atzlanim, I praise the lazy people, shein yotzim batem beregel, because they don't leave their homes on the regel. Instead, they stay at home with their families, with their wives. There's a major Indian to that. Make sure you celebrate yantif with your wives and with your families. Because the pasuk says that you shall rejoice on the festival, you with your household, with the people around you. You should enjoy it in your local place. Any, but ask the Gemara, is this really true that you're not supposed to leave home on Yom Tov? Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, where Rabbi Yitzchak says, Minayin shechayiv adam lach b'pnei rav b'regel? How do we know that there is such a mitzvah to go and visit your teacher during Yom Tov Shenemar? Because it says, by the story of the Isha HaShunamis, this is in Melachim Beis. So the story basically goes, is that there's this woman from Shunam, and she would provide room and board to Elisha HaNavi whenever he would pass through the village. She didn't have a child, so Elisha gave her a bracha that you should have a child. She eventually had a child, and then this child just dropped dead one day. So she went right to Elisha. But her husband didn't know about this whole thing. So when she said, I'm going to Elisha, to the Rebbe, he said, Shenemar, Madua Ato Lecha Se Lav Hayom Lo Chodesh Velo Shabbos. Why are you going to Eliyahu? Why are you going to Elisha? It's not a Rosh Chodesh or a Shabbos. Mikhail, the Bechodesh Veshabbos, Mikhaya Venish Lak Bule Ape Rabbe, which implies that on the new moon, that when there is Rosh Chodesh and Shabbos, a person is obligated to go and visit his teacher, which teaches us that Rabbi Lezer should have been proud of his Talmud for coming to visit him on Regal. So how could it be that he was telling him that you shouldn't have come? Lokasha, so no, it's not a question. Ha da azov ase biyome, ha da azov lo ase biyome. So no, we're talking about a situation where you can go visit your Rebbe and then come back home. If you're able to do both and celebrate at home while visiting your Rebbe, that's great. But if it's going to be a whole long trip, you're going to miss the whole Regel and all yontif with your family, that is not a good thing. Tan Rabban Rabbi Son Sabrais, Maisa Rabbi Eliezer, another story about Rabbi Eliezer, story about Rabbi Eliezer, Shabbos Begal Elyon, that he was spent to Shabbos in the upper Galil. In the sukkah of Rabbi Yochanan, the son of Rabbi Yilai, who lived in Kesari. Fine. And they were sitting in the sukkah, and the sun started coming into the sukkah. Amar Los, Rabbi Yochanan asked, Rabbi Eliezer, Mahu she'efro shaleh asadin, what's the halacha? Am I allowed to spread a sheet over the sukkah to go and prevent the sunlight from bothering you? So Amar Rabbi Eliezer said back, in lecha kol shevet v'shevet miYisrael, you're not going to find any of the 12 shvatim of the Jewish people, sholem in menu shofet, that there was no shofet from them. Higiyacham lechatzi asukkah. So now the rays of the sun started reaching the middle of the sukkah. Amar Eliezer, Rabbi Yochanan said again, he said to Rabbi Eliezer, Mahu she'efro Allah asadim. Am I allowed to go and spread a sheet? The first time he asked, Rabbi Eliezer went on to some random topic, seemingly just trying to deflect and pretend like he's not hearing the question. So he asks him again, as the sun keeps coming, becoming stronger and stronger. So Amar Lo, Rabbi Eliezer again changed the topic, and he said, "In lecha kol shev v'shev v'Yisrael shol yatzu menu neviim." There is no nation from the Jewish people. There's none of the tribes that don't have a navi. Shev Yehuda ben Yamin hamidim malachim al pi neviim, and the tribes of Yehuda ben Yamin, they made kings based on the instructions of prophets. Eventually, the sun's rays reached Rabbi Eliezer's feet. So Rabbi Yochanan came and just spread a sheet over the sukkah. Hish shil Rabbi Eliezer talisa lachorav. And when that happened, Rabbi Eliezer draped his clothes back over his back. He put on his clothes and he left the sukkah. Lo neshi afligu bedvarim. Now says the Gemara, he wasn't just trying to deflect and giving all these things just so he wouldn't have to answer this question. That's not why he was doing that. Meaning, he wasn't just trying to deflect Yochanan with random words. But Rabbi Eliezer would never say a halacha that he hadn't explicitly heard from his Rebbe. And since he was never going to teach anything and say a halacha about anything without consulting with his Rebbe, he didn't want to say the halacha in this situation. What is this halacha question in general? The halacha question in general would be making a temporary roof on Shabbos. You're doing some sort of temporary partition over here. Is that going to be a problem on Shabbos? So ask the Gemara, Hechi Avid Haki. Forget about the details of this situation. Let's just get the bigger picture of what was happening over here. How was Rabbi Eliezer allowed to do this? He left his home on Sukkot, which was Shabbos. So on Shabbos Sukkot, he left his house to go and spend it with his Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan. V'hamar Rabbi Eliezer. But how could this be? Because Rabbi Eliezer himself said, "Ein yotzei misukkah l'sukkah." You're not allowed to go from one sukkah to another sukkah. He said, you can't sit in any other sukkah over Sukkot. How could he be in someone else's sukkah? So answering one, no, regular achar havai. No, it was not on Sukkot that he went to Rabbi Yochanan. It was a different one of the Yom Tovim. V'hamar Rabbi Eliezer. But Rabbi Eliezer just said, that it's better not to leave on Yom Tov. You should spend it with your family. So how could this be? So answers the Gemara, Shabbos Havai. No, it wasn't a regular. We're talking about just a normal Shabbos. And that's why he was allowed to go and leave his house for Shabbos. Now back to the question that was actually at hand. Comes the Gemara and says, we should be able to answer this question that Rabbi Eliezer did not want to answer about whether you're allowed to spread a sheet over the sukkah because he didn't want to give a ruling based on something he had not heard from his Rebbe. So, but still, the tifshol lemi didei, but we should be able to answer this question from something that Rabbi Eliezer himself said elsewhere. Because the Mishnah in Shabbos teaches us, when it comes to a window shutter, Rabbi Eliezer says, when it's attached to the building by a rope, and the rope is so short that the shutter is going to be suspended when it's not being used, you're allowed to shutter the window with it on Shabbos. But if the the shutter is not suspended in this way, in poking the bow, you're not allowed to shutter the window with it on Shabbos. This is going to be an Isser Midrabanan to even move the shutter at all, since even temporarily is going to be an issue. In either case, you're allowed to shutter the window with it, because the addition to this structure is only temporary, and therefore it's not going to be a problem. But what comes out is the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer himself is that even a temporary addition to a structure is going to be a problem. So the same thing probably should apply to this sukkah. You shouldn't be allowed to spread the sheet over the sukkah, because that's also a temporary addition to a building, and that's going to be a problem. So Rabbi Eliezer should have been able to answer based on a different Shita that he himself had. So answer the Gemara, no, they're different cases. Because Hasamudim Mevatel, there in the case of the window shutter, he nullifies the shutter status as a separate object when he puts it into the window. It's now a full addition into that building, and that's a real additional element to the building. But here in our case, with the sheet and the sukkah, the adding just this sheet just to block the sun, you're not actually going and making it part of the sukkah. It's not actually part of the structure itself, and therefore, maybe it wouldn't be an issue, and that's why he wouldn't answer. Fine, we'll continue with this next element of the Gemara next time. This is Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis. Everyone should have a wonderful, wonderful day.